from the minister together with the other officials. So we are ready to proceed. Members have received copies. We are going to hand over to the chair of the board to take the committee through. Basically, what we want is we want the board to give us reasons why we should not resolve that this payment that has been made to the former CEO, whose contract was prematurely terminated, must not be paid by board members individually. We have came to that determination to receive representations because we felt that the manner in which that process was undertaken and concluded was not proper. And it resulted in some expenditures having been incurred as a result of the termination. I think there was about 5 months outstanding of the contract of the former CEO, which was paid to her. And after she launched a dispute with the CCMA, there was sort of an agreement at the CCMA that she would be paid another 3 months as a way of settling the matter, which we're told has been agreed to. So it's about 8 months of payment that was made to her. And we were not happy with this. We asked the chairperson, who could not get sufficient or not sufficient as such, but explanation which which the committee satisfied me. And that's why we've invited other members of the board. Because we understand even this matter, how it was handled by the emergency board meeting, was not a unanimous decision. There were other members of the board who did not agree with how the matter was resolved. So we want to get an explanation, and we're also going to ask the members of the board give their individual comments on what we have been presented by the chair. And then we will then engage and interact with this matter. Chair?
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to thank you for the invite again and try to explain to the committee that I couldn't respond to your letter on the after the 5th because of ill health, and a letter was written to your office explaining that I wasn't well. I was off sick for 3 weeks. I'd like to apologize for that, and I would like to introduce the members of the board. On my right hand side is Mr. David Lefuso. Next to Mr. David Lefuso is Dr. Kiabetswe Modimueng. And there is Mr. Nick Nicholson. And there is Judy, as you all know, she's the representative from the department. And there's Ms. Nandi Madiba and Professor Elizabeth Mokoto. And we have a new company secretary.
Professor Mokoto?
Yes.
Professor Mokoto in the back.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, Professor Mokoto. And then we have just appointed a new company secretary. Her name is Advocate Portia Matsane.
Matsane.
Yeah. And we've got our CFO, and as a member of the board, ex officio, our CEO, and Mr. Cherry Noir. Mr. Chairperson, I've got two. I'm going to ask for a direction from you. This report was supposed to be presented by the minister, so it is written as if it comes from the minister, although the input is from the board. And I had made my own summary. So I'll take the direction from you whether I go through the minister's report or through the summary.
Well, we want explanation about what happened from the board. If the information that's contained in the minister's submission is the same as what the board has submitted, I think you must just take us through that. What we're simply interested in is what happened and why it happened in the manner that it happened. So it's up to you really to take us. What we need is the report from the board about what happened. Why did you come to that conclusion? Remember, there was something that we got and we dismissed that as insufficient the first time.
All right, I'll start from the report that is before the members at the bottom of page one. The contractual arrangement with the former CEO. The former CEO's first employment contract was from the 5th of April 2009 to the 30th of March 2012. The second contract was entered into from the 1st of April to March 2015. As a chairperson, I wrote to the minister, I actually sent it by asking for the letter of appointment of the CEO, and I even went to my predecessor, Professor Linda Maggi, to get the appointment letter, which no one knew or no one had in the organization. I wrote to the former CEO asking for the report, for the contract, and she claimed that she didn't have it. We eventually got the contract from the Department of Environmental Affairs. And then after confirming her appointment as an ex-officio in the capacity as a chief executive officer by the minister, from the 1st of April 2015 to the 30th August 2018. I'd like to explain that we didn't get her contract. It was provided by the Department of Environmental Affairs, and a new board was appointed by the minister, and we commenced our work in September 2015. On the 6th of June, myself requested the former CEO to provide her employment contract as it form part of the agenda for the bilateral meeting that had been scheduled for 8th May 2016. The former CEO responded indicating that she would like to discuss the employment contract. The meeting of the 8th was confirmed, but the former CEO did not attend. On the 14th of June, I wrote to her again requesting her employment contract urgently. On the same day, she asked the secretary to finish the board with the minister's letter that had extended her contract to August 2018. The company secretary confirmed that the only reference to 2018 was her appointment as an ex-official member of the current board, which term started on the 1st of September 2015 and would end on the 30th August 2018. On the 6th of July, the board, I also wrote to the minister seeking the clarification of the employment contract. On the 27th July, the response arrived from the minister confirming what we know, that her contract was ending at the, on the 31st March 2017. And that the recruitment of the new CEO will be initiated. On the 2nd, the board chairperson, myself, held a meeting with the former CEO to formally notify her formally notifying her on the end of her contract. The former CEO walked out of the meeting indicating that she would fight the process. In August 2016, the board initiated the recruitment process in line with Section 13 of the South African Weather Service Act. In August, in the middle of the meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Environmental Affairs, the Director General and the Chair, and myself as the Chair, the meeting that I held with the ministers, I alerted them about the concerns with respect to the relationship that was developing between myself and the CEO. On the same day, also in the mention of the Portfolio Committee meeting, that Director General reiterated the former CEO that her employment contract will be concluding on the 31st of May 2017, and that she could discuss future career opportunities with her. The period of concern raised by the chair, myself, coincided with the date in June and July 2016, when the former CEO was indeed away from the office on official business, annual leave or something. This period also coincided with a critical time in the organization, when the board was receiving various anonymous allegations that were subject to separate investigation. They were contributing to this complex and negative organizational culture and required decisive and consistent management. I therefore turned down requests from her going overseas, which started the tension. On the 15th of August, a meeting was arranged between myself, the CEO, and the minister to discuss the matter of the contract of the CEO and the way forward. We waited for her and she didn't arrive on that meeting. And then, in October again, the dear representative met with her to try to also find out, catch the situation and make sure that the relationship is revived. On the 1st of November 2016, the board received a communique from the former CEO's attorney indicating her intention to litigate SourceBot for infringing on her right by recruiting a new CEO. And then on the 2nd of November, the board considered the former CEO's attorney's correspondence and deliberated in the implication. These were the results of the board meeting that we held on the 2nd of November. The board considered the breakdown of relationship with the former CEO as a result of communication breakdown between the chair of the board and the former CEO. The fact that the former CEO was not attending to meeting as requested by myself during a critical period when the former CEO was away from office for extended periods. Various unsuccessful meetings or attempts to meet with her to finalize the missing employment contract she didn't adhere to those dates that were she was supposed to come and sign the contract. The former CEO's continued insistence that her contract terminated date was 16 months beyond the 30 March 2017. This breakdown came to the head when the former CEO now self-notice of the intention to litigate. On the 2nd, the board was supposed to meet, but we had an urgent matter. The board meeting was turned into a special board meeting. We deliberated on the matters as I have just outlined, and we reached a conclusion. The board noted that the CEO has set the organization.
Where are you at now?
This is a, I'm summarizing the as I said that I had my own summary, but the information that I'm talking about, it is in the report.
No, but go through the thing.
Okay. The board further considered the financial implications of any separation with no prejudice to the CEO's benefit. Full benefit for a period of 5 months as opposed to a likely extended legal process. With the associated legal cost together with associated cost to the company of paying full benefits to the former CEO for an extended period during the legal process. The board concluded that it was in the best interest of South African Weather Service, in view of the relationship breakdown, to agree on any separation without prejudice to the former CEO's benefits and to appoint an acting CEO to keep the organization stable, pending the appointment of the new CEO. The acting CEO was appointed on the 3rd of November, and the recruitment process was finalized with the South African Weather Services Act. Cabinet approved was received for the appointment of the new CEO, Mr. Jerry Lemata, who started on the 8th of May. All actions by the board were reported to the minister, and she concurred with this action in accordance to the PSMA. Further, these actions were taken in accordance with the various legal prescripts, including the labor law. The Public Finance Management Act defined fruitless and wasteful expenditure as expenditure which was made in vain and would have been avoided had reasonable care been avoided. The PSMA requires the board, amongst others, to act with fidelity, honesty, integrity, and in the best interest of the public entity in managing the financial affairs of the entity, as well as prevent any prejudice to the financial interest of the state. As illustrated, this matter does not fall in the category of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The board considered the financial implication of any separation with no prejudice to the CEO's benefit, full benefit for a period of 5 months, as opposed to a likely extended legal process with associated legal costs, together with associated costs to company of paying full benefit to the former CEO for an extended period during the legal process. The board concluded that it was in the best interest of South African services, in view of this relationship breakdown, to agree on any separation without prejudice to the former CEO, and an acting CEO was appointed. The board thus acted in the best interest of the entity and exercised the necessary care, skill, and diligence. The board further acted in good faith, and as such, the expenditure cannot be deemed to be wasteful, fruitless, and wasteful. In summary, despite all our efforts, as outlined in this report, and as outlined by the minister, we tried to meet with the former CEO to resolve these matters. We were unsuccessful. As you have mentioned, Chair, she took the matter to the CCMA, and we reached a settlement which is confidential, but she was granted an additional 3 months' salary. Decisions in the CCMA are taken in accordance with the relevant labor legislation and outside the decision-making power of myself at the board. There are some attachments to the report. Thank you.
Okay. done,
yes.
Chair?
Yes.
Okay. We will then find out, but before we do that, probably let me just find out if, at what point was this relationship breakdown? We had a session with the board and management where we dealt with the annual report. And during the presentation, in fact, you were congratulated by the committee, the same way as we're congratulating Sandy on the good work, the clean audit, good performance by management. There was no indication by them that there is a breakdown of relation. In fact, the chair spoke well of management and their commitment. So at what point was this relationship breakdown experienced? It was at the point when we came to the portfolio committee, there was no such. So that is my first question. And my second question is, whether was there any report that was presented to the board that recommended the decision that the board took? At the time when we met as the board, was there any report in front of you regarding the various options that you must exercise as the board in relation to what you think is the breakdown of relationship with the CEO? And if there is such a report, I think we'd like to get a copy of that report. Okay, maybe, I don't know whether we must take others or you can answer the two questions before we take other members.
Okay, the relationship started to break down right about June, but we still had hope that we were going to sort out all the matters that we were not happy about. Between myself, the then deputy chair, and the ministry. When we came here to report on the financial report, there were already some indication that the relationship was breaking. But by then, there were some means that there were some other interventions that we were trying to sort out the breakdown of relationship. And according to the framework, the COPEC, we were discussing this matter with ministry, with its minister. And we've got the COPEC, the shareholder COPEC, that is governing our relationship with the shareholder, the ministry. So according to that framework, the first point where you discuss such matters is with the ministry. You don't come to the portfolio committee before you've been given the go-ahead, or the minister is the one who's supposed to come and discuss these matters with you. So that's why when we came here, we didn't touch on this, because we were of the opinion that the minister is the correct person who is a member of the portfolio committee who can report such matters. And then the second point that you were asking about the report, that was the annual report. There was no report at that stage, but what informed the board's decision is the fact that the recruitment process had already started. And it had all the applications, the deadline was closed, and the CEO didn't apply to be considered as a new CEO. And because of that, we had this litigation letter or the intention to litigate from him. With that in mind, we felt as a board that we cannot be talking to our own CEO through the attorneys. She was supposed to come to the board to talk to us as a board. But now we are given 7 days to respond. And that was not a healthy state of affairs. Why the CEO, who is given such a responsibility of running the South African Weather Services, now talks to the board through the attendees. So this is part of the reason why the decision was taken, because she didn't apply, and the recruitment process had already closed all the deadlines, and she was saying that it's her job. The minister had appointed her for the further 13 months, and when we informed her and the minister confirming to all of us, including her, that her term of office was March 2017, she said that she was going to fight the process. So the relationship by then was no longer good, and it was not good for the South African Weather Service, as there were other many allegations that were made. And taking or appointing, trying to follow the disciplinary code for her, it was going to be very costly. It means by then we were busy with the process.
Chair, please try to answer the question.
Okay.
If you wanted to give us more information, you should have included it in your report. What you are saying is not what I've asked.
Okay.
I asked whether, at what point did the relationship break down? I also asked the question, was there a report in front of the board when you took that decision? So there was no report. The board just met, and you saw the letter, you became angry, and you decided to terminate the relationship. There was no report that advised you the possible options and the implications for each of the options that are proposed in terms of the relationship, because the relationship is contractual. So one would think that a sensible thing for the board to do is to request advice either from the lawyers or the financial expert, but probably the lawyers, not probably, actually the lawyers. Because an employment relationship is a legal relationship. It's governed by law. So when you act, unless you are expert in the field, but even if you're an expert, you still need an opinion from someone. But I'm sure we'll come to that. For now, I just wanted to find out that and then get other members of the board just to comment. Gentlemen next to you. I forgot the name, my apologies. David Mufuto. Oh, sorry, the Futo.
Yeah.
Okay, that is the Futo.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, members. My name is David Mufuto. I would like to concur with what the
the mic next to you.
Okay, yes. And that the removal of the former CEO by the board was performed in good faith, and it related to the failure of the CEO perform her duties, because she missed some meetings that she was supposed to attend with the chairperson. There was a relationship breakdown, and then we had to act in terms of the act. I think your second question relating to whether there was a presentation to the board. There was a verbal presentation to the board by the chairperson. And the presentation...
No, I asked if there was a report.
Okay.
Not a presentation.
Okay. That's fine. The decision that was taken by the board was very rational, because we considered all the facts that were put to us, including the threats that were given that they are going to litigate by the former CEO's attorneys. As we all know, that the principle of legality requires us to exercise public power, including any act, that it must be rational. And I believe that we acted rationally. According to my own research, the decision to remove the former CFO, I mean CEO, is in line with the law, because even the Constitutional Court said in the previous case between the Minister of Defense and Minister of Veterans versus Mutau, that it is not required to determine whether the decision was in fact the best decision that could have been made, or whether a different decision could have been made. Rather, the court would only be concerned with whether the board responded rationally to the indications of widespread dysfunctionality at the weather service. So this case by the Constitutional Court, where the Minister of Defense lost the case, was whether a board member or a board acted as a collective or as individual members. And the Constitutional Court reiterated that boards or committees or constitutional entities act as a collective, unless if the board member acts
as a
collective.
Where are you?
No.
What are you doing? Are you arguing a case in court, or are you responding to what we have requested you to come and
I am responding. I think you wanted a response from me as a person, so I'm responding.
Yes.
That's my response.
Yes, but there are certain expectations. You can't come here and lecture us on what the Constitutional Court has done. There are specific requests and expectations in relation to the premature termination. What we expect from you as a member of the board is that there is a decision that has been taken by the board. I've asked questions, the chair has responded to them. I was hopefully thinking that you're also going to respond to those questions and add more on the circumstances around which that termination was made. Don't come and argue about this and that, Constitutional Court case with us. We are not yet there. We will go there if there is a need for us to go there. So we are not yet at that legal argument by precedence, by what the court has decided and so on. So can you please answer and respond to what we expect of you to do that? And if you don't have anything to add, you can move to the next member of the court.
Thank you.
You don't have anything to add?
I'll say what I want to say.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's me, Mujimwe.
Okay. Mujimwe.
Yeah. Thank you. Greetings to honorable members. Indeed, the chairperson, in a submission of the submission that was meant to be given by the minister, has in essence captured what transpired between us as a board and the erstwhile CEO. The relationship had broken down. I think that one beyond any reasonable doubt. It was very clear that at that particular time that the board was taking this decision, informed by the verbal inputs that were narrated by the chairperson and the observation that we as a board had made on what was transpiring. I mean, part of those was receiving a letter from the attorneys on the eve of a board meeting, where under very normal circumstances, the eve of a board meeting is a moment where the chairperson would be having an audience with the CEO to just go through, it can be agenda items of the next day and so forth. That's under normal circumstances. And for the fact that on the eve of the last board meeting of the year, mind you, we are receiving letters which are very litigious in nature, indeed gave credence to our observation. And one was still aware of, you know, from reading the Act and what the Source Act says, especially around issues of in the charitable relationship. The other issue that weighed in very heavily in our decision on the day chair was the fact that the CEO was at the tail end of a contract. That one is factual. There is absolutely no way that she could have defined the term of her contract outside of the parameters of, one, what the board says, secondly, what the minister says. Now, I'm guiding you towards what informed us on that particular day. We are sitting there, there's been back and forth between the chairperson, between the minister and the DG, trying to clarify the former CEO on that matter. She stomped out of office. She meetings were arranged in good time. She just did not attend. There was a meeting that was supposed to take place between the minister, the chairperson is convened in the report, and the CEO. No forewarning, no apology, nothing. These are relational dynamics. These are relational dynamics which have to be taken into cognizance when we evaluate as board members. And indeed, it is important to be guided by the law at all material times. But as non-executive directors, we do have a discretion to apply. We do have discretion to apply, and it is on those basis that we would then be able, even 11 months later, to explain the decision that we took in the subsequent year. At the tail end of the contract, there was just no way we could even explore avenues around suspension if we felt that at that time we're going to end up paying the CEO while she was on suspension until the logical or the correct end of her contract. She would still litigate, we would still have to go to the CCMA, and we would have spent much more than what has been spent. That's where a discretion comes in from the level of a director. There are decisions which have to be taken at that particular time. And as to whether this is wasteful or fruitless or otherwise, I think it would also be helpful, you know, with utmost humility, for the committee to also guide us as to what could be the reasons that inform the assertion that which we have done could have been wasteful in any way. The year that we are referring to has been duly audited by the Auditor General. No finding of that nature, and it was disclosed because, I mean, you know, it's quite clear. At the opening of the financial year, who was the chief executive? At the closing of the financial year, who was the chief executive? That was auditing 101 on the side of the Auditor General, and that issue was never expressed in that manner. So I think I got a sense that the committee wanted to understand how we arrived at the decision. At the heart of it is what has been explained, is the fact that as directors we do have a discretion to exercise. We are talking about the financial aid that has been audited, and you know, that's really where we are. I think I would pause here unless if there are other questions. I don't know how the chair will proceed.
Okay, thank you very much. But maybe before we get to the next one, the decision was not unanimous, as you know. So obviously you voted in favor of the decision.
Yeah.
The decision was not unanimous, Chair. Mm-hmm.
Yes, no, I'm still asking.
Okay.
The member.
Thank you, Chairperson. You are correct.
Okay.
And the decision was arrived at, it was voted upon, and the legal standing of the decision is that it is a board decision.
No, I think I'm not asking about the legal standing. I know that one.
No. If you could maybe allow me, Chair. And there's a reason why I'm saying that.
Please, you don't come here and tell us how to run meetings. I'm asking you whether you voted in favor of the decision. Not whether the decision was legal or illegal. That is the question.
Chair, no, you didn't ask it that way, Chair. You said the decision was not arrived at unanimously. So I'm still building a point. I'm not.
Yes, that's why I want to find out from you whether you voted in favor or against.
I voted in favor of the decision.
Okay. Thank you very much. Who's the next member?
Yes. Nick Nicholson.
Nick Nicholson.
Hello, Chair. Hello, members. I voted against this particular resolution and I recorded my vote against. I had two things on my mind. Number one was, long before the breakdown or the alleged breakdown occurred, the former CEO had actually asked to meet with the board for a nomination process. That request was in writing. And in fact, from the attorneys, had drafted a particular letter as to what eventually happened, what eventually became a legal challenge. So this matter, in my opinion, at that time, could have been mediated rather than ended as it did. The second point, which was important to me as chair of the audit committee and an independent board member, is that we came from a background of an absolutely clean report, which we had achieved under the leadership and guidance of the former CEO. And my concern was that without her guidance through to the financial year end, we would not achieve that. At the moment, we have the essence of hindsight that, in fact, leadership was, in fact, lost. And therefore, I'm glad that I voted as I did and that I recorded my vote. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, Honourable Members. Yes, I was part of the meeting, and I concur with the report by the Chair of the Board, and further augmented by Mr. Lefuto and Dr. Kia. My view is that the Board acted legally, rationally, and in good faith.
Ms. Nandi Madiba.
Ms. Nandi Madiba. Can you get your input? And whether you voted for or against and the reasons for that?
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. I would like to express firstly an appreciation that you've given us an opportunity to come and appear in front of the committee. And I would like to also express a sincere apology that I wouldn't like it to be seen as if it was defiance of the authority of the committee for us not to appear. I saw from the minutes that we were earlier on invited, but unfortunately, such invitation never reached some of us as board members. So our absence previously was not because we felt we were bigger than you, but it's because the administration didn't reach all of us. So let's first express that apology. Secondly, I voted against the decision. Partly the point that made me to vote against has been covered by Mr. Nichols. I don't share any board committee with him, so I'm a board member, but I'm also a member of Audit and Risk Committee that is chaired by Mr. Nichols. And from the board, the audit committee point of view, we raised some concerns which we looked at as risk in terms of the organization, which were based on having the interest at heart of the organization itself and not individuals. And having considered that, we made some calls to the board to consider convening a meeting to discuss the matter. But as at that time, there had been no formal report presented to the board in regards to any possible unhealthy relationship between the former CEO and the board chair. But from our own observations, we were able to just identify certain anomalies. One had been alluded to already by the board chair of a sudden cancellation of a meeting abroad where the CEO represents the country. So things like those already tell you that something isn't right. But there had never been a formal report. I'm not sure, maybe, unless some of the board members must have seen the report that is being referred to here, that there was a report by the board chair to the board prior to the decision being made, being taken. Personally, I've never seen such a report. All I recollect is that at that special board meeting, there was an oral presentation by the board chair in regards to what she had believed that was strenuous in terms of the relationship between herself as the board chair and the office of the CEO. But as to a formal report to us, I've never seen that as an individual board member, so I can't talk to a report that I've not seen. And my further comment is still in relation to the issue of the relationship breakdown. The attempts we were making, especially from the audit committee point of view, to have a meeting to try and mediate when we were noticing that something wasn't going right, and prior to us knowing what the exact reasons were, we were made to submit some agenda items that were making us to request such a board meeting. We actually made such submissions via email. I personally sat at home that night as well, trying to summarize things that we felt needed to be discussed. Unfortunately, there was no consensus to actually convene such a special board meeting when we felt we could have mediated the matter. The response was that in terms of the act that establishes SOAS, it can only take place if it was by majority. But within the same section of the act, it actually makes reference to the fact that in applying that section of the act, you may have your internal procedures. And the reference I made at that particular meeting was to our board charter, that the board charter doesn't say you need to be majority. When you identify that something isn't going right, as an individual board member, you may make a request to the board chair to convene a meeting so that you could discuss whatever you see as a concern. Unfortunately, we were bogged down into interpreting the law than looking into a way of trying to amicably resolve the matter that was before us. And I'd like to express myself to say, I also concur with Ms. Nichols that this could have been avoided. Yes, there might be reference to the act that we acted rationally legally, but personally, I believe that we could have avoided this if we had acted in a professional and a mature way to say, when there's a difference between two individuals, let us prioritize the interests of the organization and not prioritize our own interests as individuals to the extent that such differences would lead to a breakdown, that an organization would lose a credible CEO that had taken it to such heights and getting awards from the Auditor General side. My last point, Chair, would be, I as I sit here, believe that as a board of SOAS, we erred by not acting as a team in regards to this, because if we had acted as a team, we could have avoided certain things. Being bogged down into an act interpretation, then trying to meet when there are members that are calling for a meeting, is also something that actually derailed us. And subsequent to several engagements, the board actually noted such anomalies. And we are currently not a divided board. I would like to express that. But the unfortunate part is the timing as to when those anomalies were identified, because the act could not have been reversed. But as at the time the decision was taken, we were not seeing things in the same manner. And some of the presentations made here, some of us are coming across them as new information, but I'm not going to bore the committee by going into those details. But even the fact that the differences between the CEO, the then CEO, and the board chair had actually started looming so many months prior to the special board meeting we had is something that is surprising, because I'm believing that we could have even acted even earlier than that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Prof.
Madam Gossel. Yeah, I think...
Yeah,
can you hear me?
a relationship breakdown between the chairperson and the CEO, former CEO, and there were various attempts to try and make them to work together. Those things failed. At the time when they came to talk to us here, they were trying to see if they can mend the relationship between the chair and the CEO, former CEO. So we're not told about that because according to the chair, she felt that she needed to take it through the minister. Although there was a congratulation from the chair to the CEO about a good wife, these other issues were concealed about their relationship. There was a meeting of the board that took place. There was no report that was presented to the meeting from any of the any advisor, legal advisor. It was presented, verbal presentation by the chair. Board members deliberated to get it. So that's what happened. Some members of the board did not agree, as we heard. Some members felt that this matter could be mediated properly. And if mediation fails, then the board can arrive at a decision. Some members felt that the organization was performing well and the issues could be sorted out. Basically, there was a contractual dispute about when is the termination date of the contract of the CEO. And the CEO sent a letter to the chair. And the members became angry after seeing the letter that the CEO is litigating. And then took that emotional decision. Okay, can we get input? Honorable Mabilu, Honorable Perian, Honorable Khadev, Honorable Kekana, and
Honorable Chair, for the opportunity. I think as a portfolio committee, we've waited quite some time for the report and for the board to come and appear before us. First and foremost, I think I must express my own dissatisfaction around the conduct of the board. We've expressed it in your absence last year, 2016, to say this is nothing else but undermining ourselves as a portfolio committee. And we have emphasized the point, and I have to say, the board is not doing us any favor to appear. It is obligatory, we must appear. So we take strong exception to the non-appearance to ourselves. Secondly, some of us have had the privilege or opportunity to interface with the previous CEO. I've been in this committee for 3 years, since 2014. We've always received clean orders. There's been accountability, as well as the fact that the former CEO was representing this country in various forums, in SADC and also in the global space. That has been reported to us. So for me, Chair, I think, to be honest, I will not ask questions, I will just basically comment here and there and so forth. I think we must clearly say that this is the weakest board that I'm dealing with in the past 3 years. I must say it has degenerated to its lowest ebb. I can say the board is rudderless. is incoherent. So there is something else maybe in our portfolio committee or in our study group we must take a discussion. So that's how I feel about the board. First and foremost, the board has been dishonest. They have hidden information that was brought on by one of the members. They have just given us one side. I've gone through the report, I've listened, I've taken notes. Nowhere is it reflecting from them that there was this intervention from the side of the former CEO to formulate in writing. Nothing is presented. One member has confirmed. So for me, Chair, I'll be brief. I'll not take the time so that I must give the opportunity to the other members. But I find it strange that a new chairperson comes in. The first priority is the contract of the CEO. And subsequent to that, the so-called, I know this is a broad term of breakdown of relations. For me, Chair, I'm surprised that for 8 months that I mean, we have to pay because as Parliament appropriate the budget and the funds. Without us here, there can be no funds. So to pay for 8 months, whereas this contract was going to be ended at 5 months, and just be patient. I'm just concerned about the haste of waiting for the contract to run its course. Is there something there that the presence of the CEO is going to be blocking or not? It's a rhetorical question. I don't need an answer. But I'm concerned about the fast tracking of the termination of the contract, the haste and the rush in it. And I must say, Chair, that some of the explanations given were not helpful in us being objective in terms of what we want to achieve or address. And the Chair, you have reacted to that. There can be no compelling argument for you to say this was not fruitless and wasteful. As far as we are concerned, that is our departure point. Chair, I must say that I'm not convinced otherwise that the decision that we have taken is correct. I'm not convinced from the explanation given. It's very clear you are found wanting in terms of your explanation. So we must take every explanation that you have given with a pinch of salt. I must say in total, we should not accept the explanation. On page 3, 4.5, you are acting on the basis of what you call anonymous allegations, which is nothing but rumors. It's grossly irresponsible for a board to act on the basis of anonymous allegations. Anonymous allegations is nothing but a rumor. And the fact that the chair emphasizes this point, there's no report, there's no material substantive evidence that you have applied to your mind for the process. So this is a predetermined exercise. And this is what I cannot come to different conclusions. Because we are not furnished with the deep allegations in detail, what process we followed, and the fact that you are saying to follow through process is going to be tedious, it's going to be expensive, it's ludicrous, it's laughable. It's due process, subject every individual to a due process, so that is rejected. I'm concluding now, Chair, 1 minute left. So, Chair, this should be a warning to us, and I think we must caution the board that as a portfolio committee, we will not accept malicious, arbitrary decisions, which are excessive, which affect us as yesterday the AG report determined. Contrary to what we have received on a consistent basis in 3 years succession, good clean audit report. And I think the colleagues from the board indicated the risk was there There's no two ways. You can't delink the two. But it's a question of ego. For me, it goes down to one issue, ego. So, Chair, as I'm about to retreat, I must just make the following and I close my case. Chair, it seems that as though the problem was between the former CEO and board chair, personally, to which the board members were roped in. And the intervention by others were excluded. And there was no urgency of the meeting. I think we need to probe deeper yet in terms of the underlying factors. If it is informed by corruption or grabbing some things, let's get into that. So we have no option but to recommend that there must be a forensic audit so that we get into the underlying factors, and then outside this broader meetings we get into the way forward, because we cannot allow that public institutions must be abused the way they are being abused. Because this CEO was subjected to orders to investigation by the former public protector. She was cleared. So it's a whole term of victimization, etc. We are not attached to a person, we are attached to the principle of fairness and giving credit to where it is true. So therefore, as I already indicated, this can be attributed to why source is underperforming now. I'm not blaming the CEO active, no. It's up to leadership. It's the leadership that should provide the tone and vision and rather the employer's own personal clashes. So Chair, I think we are correct. The board members must take responsibility for this, and they must pay for this fruitless and wasting expenditure incurred. But there will be an aspect maybe when we meet alone as a portfolio committee that we can look into as a proposal, but I don't want to read it out. Thanks for the opportunity, Chair, but you must indicate to the board you are failing us, and you have failed us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mr. Honourable Pérez.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'm covered in a number of aspects, but as you said earlier on, the support is mainly about the dispute over the contract. But for clarity's sake, 3 months plus 5 months, 8 months, I'd like to know exactly how much was paid in rand terms, if we can have that simple answer for that one. Another simple answer I would like, was the decision taken to pay her without legal opinion? If we can get clarity on that one. And then in this report, I don't see any reference, unless I've missed it, to the public protector investigation mentioned by my colleague. No reference at all to the PwC, that's the auditor's investigation, because there were allegations. And based on those investigations, was any disciplinary action taken prior to this decision? There were also questions about qualifications for the job. I'd like to know a simple question. My last one is whether any disciplinary action taken prior to this decision? Thanks.
Well, maybe before, can you quantify it in rand terms there? The FO, 8 months was amounting to how much?
Thank you, Chair. The amount for the 5 months was 1.14 million, and the settlement for 3 months was 660,000 rand, and in total that's about 1.8 million.
Sorry, Chair, about 2 million in total.
Yes,
the board who was given a push to succeed. It seems that the letters didn't filter down to them about the debts that they wanted them to appear before the particular committee. Can we get maybe perhaps who was responsible to filter down this message to the board members? Because it appears they seems to be a huge communication breakdown in the appeal. And it even affects our function as a proponent. It's not even affecting the member or the board in itself. It also affects us as a proponent. Because they were supposed to appear before this control committee. And that message didn't filter down through the ground. I think that we need to get to the bottom of that as well. I've also realized that has been Chatter Center that out of the verbal presentation by the chairperson and the board members took a decision without having sought a legal opinion. And we just put it quite correctly, that was a contractual dispute. It should have been dealt by the legal experts to see how they can resolve the issue without even having the board getting involved. I don't want to mention what my colleague also said. The information that is coming now from the board members. And I'm really inclined to supporting the call by Honorable Mavino that we need to get to the bottom of this, to call for a forensic investigation. Exactly what is happening on the ground? We can't all of a sudden terminate the contract of the, because there were allegations that were levied against the acting CEO there. Why terminate the contracts of that individual? Why is they supposed to be the investigation conducted? All of a sudden we decide, no, we have to terminate. Why are you hiding? Or you're trying to protect it? It doesn't seem so to me. That's one of the things that I'm trying to make with the current as I'm sitting here. And certainly the decision by the portfolio, by the board members, was the rationale. Because it was not based on the report that was sent to the portfolio, there was no opinion, whatever is the legal opinion or from someone with expertise. And they simply take the presentation, the verbal presentation, this is it, no, we are firing it. And like, as simple as like that, that was irrational. And they still insist that they don't think that the decision they took was irrational. You are sitting currently at this funding, or in the previous financial day, with 4 million irregular expenditure. Because there was nobody to approve, or the tenders that they were awarded were not approved. Because it boils down to the question that at that point in time, we didn't have a CFO as well as the CEO. That's the kind of thing that you were supposed to be looking after, rather than being irrational and act on emotions about the verbal presentation by the chairperson of the board. Chairperson, I'm really disappointed with the current board. I'm really disappointed. This is the first time we get this low report from the board without even the record table, and the members simply took a decision at the blink of the eye. Thank you,
sir.
That's all
that
I can say.
Thank you. Honorable Kita. No, thanks, Chair. There are colleagues who raised many questions, but Chair, how many CEOs change in the year because of no relationship?
Okay.
Chair, thanks. Surely I think as a committee, the main concern is about the effectiveness, which should apply across the board. The CEO matter, in terms of what we're dealing with now, just happened to be one in many issues, and it may not be in source alone, but it's a matter of concern that where there are tensions between authorities and employees, then employees have to suffer that particular under those particular circumstances. So for us to ensure that these kind of things do not repeat or recur, we should be able to make sure that people don't just take decisions perhaps when they are not supposed to, wrong decisions for that matter. So when, in terms of regulations or in terms of legislation, there are proper procedures to be followed, authorities should speak to that. It shouldn't necessarily be issues wherein individuals, because at that point in time they are in power, they do as they please. Relations should remain professional. And I'm not arguing that we don't have instances where there's irreparable breakdown in terms of relations. I'm not arguing that that does happen in institutions who are dealing with human beings. But we should, as much as possible, stick to professional relations, because we are not there in these institutions necessarily on our own regard, but we are caused to be in that kind of an environment or that space by each of us having an interest in that organization. And procedures are clearly set out as to what should happen. So we cannot go there and then start utilizing our own egos or whatever. We must be guided by what needs to happen. Even as you proceed now, for instance, it's not given that you have good relations all the time with the current CEO. But you must try, when some issues arise which need proper handling, to handle those in a professional manner, so that at least we've got sustainable institutions, sustainable organizations that can rise to the occasion to do their work without necessarily regardless of who is involved. You know, personalities are an issue, but let's try and deal with these issues. You know, I know it's said, and I'm not just bringing this becoming irrelevant. I know that at around that time, there were tensions in the organization, and it may not be the only person or employee, the CEO, who jumped ship or who actually left the organization. Now, it also goes to what Honorable Mabilo was saying, exactly what was happening in that period himself. If quite a number of senior managers would jump ship, and quite a number would be acting, and so what exactly was happening? Perhaps we need a broader report than just a report that talks to the CEO alone, because we might have lost quite a lot of money if others were settled as well, something which we never necessarily came to see. Also, we settled the following person, you know. And as I move, Chair, to my conclusion will be that the kind of settlement that we have is the first time that I heard of it. It is called a nuisance settlement.
Say
what? I'm not sure, I've not checked whether legally there is such type of thing in the document. There is. But for me, the reasoning behind that is to say that you wanted to avoid a situation where you continue to have these challenges with the CEO. My point here will be that I know 5 months can be too long, can be too short, it depends on where you sit. If indeed there are serious tensions, even a day is too long to spend with somebody whom you can't relate, you know, for a week or something like that. But where we see that, and I think it's clear that you will afford us another date, another time to resolve, probably, as only one of you are saying, to get into the matter, is that 5 months from where we see that, we may want to think that it's quite a short period to allow somebody to conclude their term and go. You know? But the source of the tension in terms of the contract, I think, depended more on who said what. Because many people were not there when the promises were made. Whether that was correct or wrong, to say, I was told this contract will conclude later, and then some people are taking later to say, no, we never said that, and that is in terms of you being an ex officio later, and so on and so on, all of that. And if it was not subjected to the legal process, because it's not really like a situation where you are in a court situation to try and get into exactly what transpired, who was correct, what are the capabilities, and so on. So we have this particular challenge to look at it, but the advice I'm giving is that the board should not, and I'm leaving this one in a guarded fashion, should not in any way be reckless in whatever decisions that are taken. If a board member comes here and says that information or communication did not reach all of us, for instance, that we needed to come here, the issue may be one. Was there a deliberate action to want others not to come because they did not agree with the board decision or something? We don't want to be subjected to suspicion in a way. When we deal with yourselves, we have to always be done to what you say, what you have not said. You know? We don't want to do that. We want to be able to talk from a point of view of you being honest with us. When you give information, we must tell you that the information you're giving us, you take yourself seriously in terms of your responsibility, and also you want to enable us to be able to change the that we are supposed to take. There will be a set or lack of better way probably. We must think when you step in next time around, you think that probably you will have something to hide to us. And then want to develop those attitudes. If we can sustain or maintain a situation where when you look at, we look at you, you have nothing to hide, and we're treating us fairly so that we're also able to do our jobs proper. And where you are in the wrong, be able to accept that yes, indeed, here we might be faulted. And where we may not be interpreting things right as well, where human beings will be able to say so, to accept that perhaps we did not see this the same way. But we must not come here with happy, you know, and then you want to defend, you want to know that as if we don't want to work towards the same road at home, ultimately. It's not about that. It should be the board has us to commit. Because if once we adopt that, then the ultimate aim will be who will win. And we don't want to do that. You know, you do what you're supposed to do. We do what we're supposed to do. Ultimately, the country should go into. So I want to stop at that for now.
Okay, I think I would also like to echo the sentiment of the members of the committee that we are really disappointed, extremely disappointed with this vote. Personally, I think there is a greater degree of incompetence in the handling and the management of the affairs of the South African Water Service. You know, ever since we raised an issue around this matter up to today, I don't know how many months it has been. The first time we asked for the report, we got a one pager. I don't know whether members remember. We got a one pager from the chair of the board. And in the process of presenting, when questions were raised, in fact, I must say that the issue of the breakdown of relation was not in that report that we got. That talked to the days and so forth. It was introduced by Judy to say really there was a breakdown in the relationship. It was not in that report. And subsequently it was included in the report that we got. Now, when we interacted with that one pager, we said the board must give us reasons why we should not, they should not pay. Now, we gave them a deadline. The chair of the board came to the committee and requested an extension to say we have got a board meeting on this date. We request that the committee give us an extension. So we did that. And when the report was supposed to come after that board meeting, we were then referred to the minister to say, no, the minister will give you the explanation. So we asked the question, but why did you then request an extension to say the board is meeting when you are saying the minister will give us a response? You should not have requested an extension, because in any case, we would have went to the minister to ask for it. So we insisted that we need to get a report from the court. And even today, what was presented by the chairperson is not a report from the court. It's a letter written to us by the minister. You see, if we check our program for today, we wanted to get a presentation by the board, because we insisted that the board must come and explain to us, after which the minister must come. So if you look at the program, it was the board, after the board it was the minister. Because the board exercised the right given to us, given by this parliament. The board has got certain responsibilities, has got certain rights. The minister exercised oversight, but the board has got the right, and one of the rights and the powers that the board has got is the appointment and the issues around the discipline of the CEO. So that's why we requested that. And even today, this presentation, there is nothing prepared by the board to the committee. Simply a letter from the minister, which I allowed that the chair must read, because there's nothing, no presentation. So it really doesn't demonstrate, you know, any level of competence. Not at all. Well, I think it's holding this committee in contempt, and by extension, parliament. You know, you guys are exercising power that you have been given by parliament, this parliament. You guys are taking decisions about the spending of money that has been appropriated by this parliament. You guys are exercising public power that you have because of an act of this parliament. You have got no right to treat this parliament with contempt. The member was saying she did not get the information. You know what was the explanation the last time we met with the chair? Was that members of the board are busy. They can't make themselves available at short notice. That's the explanation we got. And now it arises today that one member was not aware that they are needed to come to Parliament. So that is how we have been treated here as a committee in Parliament. So my view is that this, the chairperson of the board and the board is very, have exhibited highest levels of incompetence in their relationship both with the committee and how they deal with matters of the board. There are a couple of things which, even from the explanation, are clearly they are wrong. You know, there was a dispute around the interpretation of the contract. When is the contract supposed to come to an end? The CEO writes a letter through the lawyer, exercising a right. No report gets presented to the board. There was no report, there was a verbal presentation. What audacity do you have to come and tell this committee that we the decision that we took was rational? Rational based on what? Because rationality means that you should have applied your mind looking at the report, looking at the facts around the report, looking at the advice given. You exercise your mind. And that's rationality. That's been rational. You can't tell us that you are rational when you just sit together in a meeting, there's no document, there's just a paper presentation. You take a decision on matters which are contractual, matters which are governed by the law. So this argument is it's very nonsensical. Because it was not, this decision was not based on sound advice. In fact, there was no advice at all. Unlike a responsible team of people running an institution, taking a major decision that will cost $2 million to the company. Are you going to seek for legal advice, or are you just going to sit together in a meeting to say, hey, I'm unhappy, let's take a decision? So that's the issue that we are raising. That's why our view is that the decision that was taken by the board has resulted in the board having to part ways with around $2 million. There was no value that was derived from the expenditure of the $2 million. And anybody must come and tell me that this is not wasteful. The circumstances around which this decision was taken and the cost associated with this thing. I want anybody to come and convince me and to convince the committee to say this thing was a good decision, it was worth it, the expenditure of the $2 million was worth it, was in the best interest of the organization, of the Weather Service, this $2 million that was. So I think we have listened to the board. Even the question that Honorable Peden was raised, there was no disciplinary process that was undertaken because of the reasons that we got from one board member to say it was towards the end and therefore it was going to take time and exercise what is that word? Discretion. You exercise discretion in matters that are governed by legislation. So I think what we will do, we will then develop a proper report out of this engagement with the board, and we will then present it to the committee. And the committee will deliberate and will take a position. So we are not going to finalize anything today. So we'll prepare that report. Fortunately, Chilek has been taking notes, Doc has been taking notes, we all have been taking notes. We'll then finalize that report and then bring it to the committee for a decision. So after having taken that decision, we'll then communicate with the board formally on the decision that has been taken by the committee. But once more, we are disappointed. But we are going to accord the board fair treatment, the same treatment that the board was not able to accord to the former CEO. We will accord you fair treatment. We have listened to you. That's why we did not take a decision before listening to you. Unlike what the board did to the CEO, not even a request for a presentation before a decision is made. We have done that. We are going to sit and look at the report, take our decision, and we'll communicate our decision to the board and to the minister about what we have decided. So we are done with the I don't know what is that. Normally, we are given an opportunity when you come here. You present, and then the members comment. If there are no questions, there is no need for you to respond to them. So I don't know whether member of the board wants to respond or wants to comment. What is that?
Thank you, Chair. I think it's important to note that as members, honourable members, were talking, we are also making notes. And based on their inputs, there seemed to be some, glaring misunderstanding, for lack of a better word, of what we meant.
Hold on a point of order.
So I'm just...
On a point of order. On a point of order, I think the chair is correct.
The
point of order is that the member of the board cannot cast aspersion on us and say we have misunderstood or misconstrued. That's casting aspersion. That's why I'm calling for order. That is how you can't prescribe to us how to interface and interact with your presentation. So the chair is correct in terms of how he's approaching the meeting.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to avoid a dialogue. I was just calling for order to say it can't be allowed that we are treated as evil. It's an insult, in fact. We take strong exception to that. We must not regret it.
Yeah, I think you have to withdraw. You know how to interact with the committee. You come here, you make a presentation, and the members interact with their presentation. Sometimes they will critique, sometimes they will be very harsh, sometimes they will be complimentary. You must take it in how, because these members are public representatives. They are the people elected by South Africans. Take decisions on their behalf. The views they are presenting here, they are presenting the views of the people out there, having been elected. So you can't come here and want to cast aspersion and undermine their capacity to process the information that you are giving them. You can't do that. So the other day, there was a member next to you who, after we have concluded, and then he also did what you are doing. He wanted to come in after the chair had spoken. And we gave him an opportunity, and he did something that was wrong. And we called him for order. He said, that's not how we do things.
there's been deliberation, there's been a summary by the chair, and that summary represents the directive that must happen. So I said even on that day that, you know, I see now the reason why some of this decision gets taken, because you come here and you don't, your conduct here says a lot about what you do when members of parliament are not there. So I'm going to appeal to you, because I don't even want to characterize this kind of conduct as being arrogant here in parliament, because it is. I'm going to appeal to you to accept the comments and the views expressed by members, take them as they are, and you'll go as the board and deliberate, unless you want to undermine this parliament and its committee. If you want to do that, you can go ahead and undermine these members of parliament. But there is a price for you to do that. We are not going to allow you to do that. Not here, not in this parliament. If you are used to doing that in your board meetings, wherever you work, you are deployed, you have got the right to do that. But anybody who is appointed to whatever, I'm going to reiterate, this board of sorts, you guys as members of the board, you are exercising the power that has been given to you by legislation that has been elected by these members of parliament. This parliament, you are using the law that has passed here, that gives you the power to use the money that we appropriate every year to take the wrong decisions that we've taken. So the least you can do is to come here and at least express a bit of humility that you are using the money of the South African people, even to come here to Parliament. So we will do that with the necessary humility. Members, we are going to adjourn for, I don't know whether it's still lunch, something outside, but there's food outside. So we're going to adjourn, and then for about 30 minutes, have something to eat, come back, and then we'll take a presentation on the annual report from the board, the South African Weather Services. And after that, we should be done. So I guess all members of the board will be with us as we take this presentation.
Thank you, Chair. There are some board members that have requested to go early. One of them has got a child that is very sick, and so it's not every member that will stay. They have
earlier
asked to be released.
All right. Now, those who have asked to be released will be released. But I guess you say there's one, the others will remain. Or all board members are going to go?
No, not all. The other one, there's only one flight to where he's going. So it might be.
No, it's fine. Those who have requested to be released, I guess, we won't be unreasonable. They will be released, and those who still have for time, they will sit with us as we take this this report. Okay, it's now 2:22. Can we be back at 2:50?
Oh, your God is in here.